Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Some elements of the religious rite having to kind of make a, dare I say, strange bedfellows arrangement with Donald Trump in order to continue fighting the culture war.
Once we reduce this to gospel, in quotes, then the doors are wide open to do anything else we want to in the theological realm.
It's not because of the man Luther. Luther would say, not me, Christ. Christ alone. Look to Christ.
Kids, we incarnate in Indiana. Hello, Mom. And love. Issues Etc.
The new Concordia commentary on Hebrews is Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
It's probably a good thing that both the law enforcement officials in charge of the investigation post Las Vegas massacre are being careful, taking their time. It's also probably a very good thing that, at least it appears to me, the media are taking their time as well. They're not saying more than they can say. They're reporting what is being reported, what is being claimed. And for most of us, we'd like to know everything there is about Stephen Paddock and what, in particular, what drove him. Interestingly enough, when it comes to the actual crimes committed, the motive is not that relevant. But in terms of news, in terms of legal justice, no. But in terms of news, it's just about the only thing that people really want to know about this terrible crime committed in Las Vegas. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 5th of October. Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about media coverage of the Las Vegas massacre. Then, the Archbishop of Canterbury has refused to give what some people are calling a straight answer to a question about homosexuality. We'll be talking with Bishop Keith Ackerman, former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, about that. Dr. Garland Allen will join us from Washington University in St. Louis. We'll talk about the history of the eugenics movement. Where does it exist today still? And then we're going to talk about the new atheist, Craig Parton, will be our guest. These are the kinder and gentler atheists. They're backing off of kind of the acerbic attitude and language used by men like Richard Dawkins and other of the new atheists. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about media coverage of the Las Vegas shooting, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
You have recently said that you think, in terms of a religion angle, this might be a bigger religion story if Stephen Paddock turns out to just be kind of a secularist. Why do you say that?
Okay, well, it takes a second to explain that, so let's back in. If the current and enlarged claims by the Islamic State just, you know, there seems to be zero evidence at this moment, but there's some very interesting dialogue going on about this on Twitter right now involving the New York Times correspondent who covers the Islamic State. And she's just made some very interesting points about the fact that the Islamic State actually very rarely claims to be involved in something unless they are. So there's some interesting debate going on there. But if it turned out that through some strange connection, Paddock was converted or even just saw himself as a hired gun for ISIS, the public would then kind of have some place in its mind to sort that away, correct? I mean, we would file it in a very large file of horrible things, but horrible things that we think we understand, right? So then, if it turned out that he had some political axe to grind, now he's shooting, you've heard people say he's shooting at a field full of people who are viewed as cultural conservatives. Let's say he has some sort of very strange supposed left-wing ideology hidden away somewhere, even though his family has openly said this is a guy with no religious or political convictions. He's just a gambler. But if it turned out that there was some strange political or who knows what all explanation there written in some note, we would stick this event into a different file of horrible things that we think we understand because we've attached a certain label to it. If we found out tomorrow that 6 months ago he learned he had a brain tumor, and this tumor ever since has been causing fits of depression and influencing his actions in ways that made them unpredictable, and he builds up the last stages of this arsenal and goes out of his mind, at that point, we would stick this event into another folder with a very clear label on it. We would say, oh man, that is so tragic. Why do brain cancers happen? But now we would say we understood it. Okay, I could go on like this for a long time, but I'll just do one more. If it turns out that he had lost tons of money in Las Vegas and he got into some sort of dispute with several of the other casinos, and he had some financial motive to try to get back at Las Vegas. And so he would be doing something that would really hurt Las Vegas tourism and the city's image. We would take that and we would put it in a different file in our mind with a different label on it. And then everybody would go back to watching the National Football League, the baseball playoffs, and the latest Russian-related things about Trump, or the next hurricane, maybe. We would have our horrible images of this thing filed away in a comfortably labeled niche. What if it turns out to be none of that? What if they never find out that there was some sort of easily identifiable reason for this, with my fingers doing scare quotes around the word reason? What if he was just a man who suffered from depression or anxiety, two conditions that are in massive growth mode in American life, and the number of Americans walking around taking medications for conditions of this sort is huge and on the rise, especially males? What if it's just something that the FBI never can label, and we don't have any envelope, any file with a nice clear word on it in which we can put this event? My take is that at that point, it's going to become, in a way, even harder to forget. And the number of people at that point who say, this could have been anybody. This just doesn't make any sense. We don't know how to deal with the question of where was God, or why did God let this happen, if there doesn't even seem to be a human reason that it did happen. Do you see what I'm talking about? If we've got one of our nice clean little folders with a label on it, like terrorism or anger, greed slash anger, or scientific diagnosis of tumor. We have all these things that we think make something logical, but what if it's none of those? So that's what I meant. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It ends up becoming an even bigger spiritual black hole, you know, for people who are really serious about these things. And of course, the big word is theodicy, which was perfectly summed up in the name of a collection of C.S. Lewis essays in which he called God in the Dock. Now, the dock, translated into American, that would be God on trial. I think at that point, even though the press would have a harder time dealing with it, to me, it becomes an even more interesting religion story. Tragic. And I'm using the word interesting as if that was some sort of value-neutral word. I don't just mean like, oh, wouldn't that be fun? What I'm saying is it would become a much more deep, complex, and troubling, maybe that's a better word than interesting, troubling religion story if we end up having to face this thing with no motive whatsoever other than capital T, capital F, the fall.
Maybe you've struck upon something here, an explanation for why, and we just have mounds of recent evidence for this, why when we have natural tragedies, hurricanes, things like that, we almost immediately go to the theodicy question. Because other than the meteorological explanations, which are extremely boring.
Well, but the meteorological political, because don't forget that Pat Robertson may believe that God aims hurricanes. You know, we explicitly are asked in our faith not to make judgments of these things. This is God's business. But Pat Robertson keeps saying that God aims natural disasters at places that don't vote right. The irony is now we've got Mother Nature, kind of with a big M and a big N, aiming storms at people, right? I mean, you've seen some of that language used. We're getting it because we deserve it. When if you were actually looking for the massive amounts, the worst amounts of pollution, God should be aiming typhoons at China. But anyway, people can find different ways of rationalizing a lot of different things. This one I think is so intriguing because if it just turns out to be one man with a lot of money, or it seemed like it was, no explicit beliefs about anything, and the next thing we know he's on the 32nd floor of a hotel becoming the greatest mass murderer in American history. What sense does it make? And if it makes zero sense, if we don't have a file folder for it, I think it's even more troubling to the typical American who thinks, oh my gosh, that could that happen to me? Could some screw come loose in me that I would do something like that? You know, I think it's a really threatening proposition.
So my observation has been that we're better off going slow, taking our time and not jumping to any conclusions, whether it's law enforcement especially,
yeah,
or the media. Do you think that the media have been kind of taking that approach, go slow and get it right the first time rather than attempt to report like they did with Tom Petty, his death before he had actually died?
Well, see, that's the deal. At this point, even the wild British tabloids, the wildest thing that they've done is speculate about what appears to be a letter with a pen sitting on top of it next to a roll of tape on a countertop, you know, in the pictures of the sniper's nest that were secretly released or whatever. But even there, that's rampant. That's speculation about something that's on a visible piece of paper. I mean, that's the sort of thing that reporters talk about all the time. Okay, what was on that piece of paper? That's a good journalistic question. Frankly, I'm not seeing a lot of wild speculation in the mainstream press because I don't think they have even the hint of logical evidence to speculate about? Does that make sense? I mean, today I was tuned in just for a little while, watching a little bit of the TV coverage, you know, and I heard people saying things like, well, I think the FBI knows more about his economic status at this moment than they're telling us. Well, that's a rational statement. The FBI has had quite a bit of time to pull financial records. A millionaire speculator in real estate probably produces a bit of a paper trail, right? Even though this man had zero online presence. I could make a comment about that, too, that I heard someone say last night. When you're preparing a spy these days, the spy agencies create enough of a Facebook and social media trail for them that they look normal. I mean, that having some online presence is now considered so normal that it would be like a dog that isn't barking if you didn't have one. So at this point, that is one of the more interesting things about this man. He has apparently zero online presence. Now, how many people can you make that statement about? Not many. We can assume that if he was a gambler to the level that he was being given free suites and extra perks and low rates for really, really important locations and hotels, I would assume that the casinos would have quite a bit of material and records on this guy. His winnings, his losings, how often. This man, according to his brother, the brother who was most candid, the one who said he has no political or religious tendencies that I'm aware of, and noted the guy doesn't even have parking tickets. At the same time, that brother just simply said, my brother was now a professional gambler. That's what he did. He used his math skills. He apparently was brilliant at math. He used his math skills to figure out logic and algorithms, and he gambled for a living. Okay, I assume there's records about that. But let's get back to the religion angle on this. When you watch this stuff, what intrigues you the most right now?
Well, I mean, I guess what I'm wondering, just in terms of motive, I think what intrigues me is that I don't know of anybody who doesn't have political or religious convictions of some kind. I guess I doubt that he's a cipher in terms of his convictions. It's possible, certainly, but that sounds to me like kind of one of the boilerplate statements that friends and family make after something like this, rather than a real character sketch of the
family. I don't know. That's a remarkable interview. In terms of family members being linked to a shooter or something like that, that interview with his brother the other day was, I thought, one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. Now, it may turn out that there is stuff that he's hiding or whatever, but I found that whole interview to be quite moving. Apparently, his brother never communicated much with him at all, although we will find out whether that's true. There's things we are going to find out, and there may be a logical reason for this. But I made the statement that I made because several people, you know, had told me just in private conversations and exchanging emails, well, it doesn't really look like there's a religion angle to this thing at all. And even by the time I wrote my very first piece on the Vegas thing, I ended it. Let me read just the last part of it. If the gunman just snapped, for many reasons that will raise a different set of questions. Why did he snap? Was this act random and meaningless in every sense of the word? If so, what does that say? Yes, even more people will ask, where was God? Why? 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 That question is rarely free of religious content.
We'll take a break. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the Las Vegas massacre. He's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Stay tuned.
Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Hey, Todd. What have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the Las Vegas massacre. In about 10 minutes, we're going to talk about the Archbishop of Canterbury's dodgy, sketchy answer, if it can be called an answer, to a question about homosexuality. Bishop Keith Ackerman, former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese in Quincy, Illinois, will be our guest. Terry, you just sent me something, which is a tweet and a picture from ISIS's, what shall I call it, their new, can you call it a newsletter that ISIS puts out? And the picture, difficult to describe, kind of a blood-drenched Mandalay Bay on the cover of it. What do you make of this?
Well, the most important thing is who the tweet is from. The tweet, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce her name. I guess the last name is Calamachi, but it's the woman who is the New York Times correspondent covering ISIS. And the opening of the tweet is, after ISIS claimed Vegas, I was waiting for them to release NABA, their weekly newsletter, to see if anything new emerged. NABA is out. And that's the one with the image of the blood-drenched Mandalay Bay. And then she has a translation of what it says. And it has, you know, a lot of stuff that ISIS could fake simply from paying attention to the same briefings that many of us are watching, with the increasingly tired and stressed out sheriff and the other people in Las Vegas who are doing, I can't even imagine what their lives are like right now. But it has a lot of that stuff. But in the midst of it, it has more information that you can either consider completely fabricated or whatever. It has a conversion name for Paddock. It has the time, a very specific mention of the time that he allegedly converted. A cynic could say they've conveniently located that conversion at 6 months ago, which is right when the surge of the super big surge of weapons purchases begin. And she goes into some other things, but the main thing she does is runs off an awful lot of material about ISIS, noting that in the past they haven't even claimed all of the attacks that were later proved to be by people associated with ISIS, and that out of like 50 cases that she's investigated, only three times does it appear that ISIS claimed an event and then had no connection with it. It's fascinating and troubling material. I guess the main thing I would say is similar to that long opening description of the folders, the mental and intellectual folders. This case just doesn't fit anybody's parameters. You're aware of how much I respect the writer and lawyer David French. I've been following him very closely post-Vegas massacre. And, you know, it's remarkable. This is a man with really strong opinions and a brilliant analytical mind. And he just keeps saying over and over, this just doesn't make any sense. We really can't make any statements yet because we don't have any statements that we can make based on evidence. This just doesn't make sense. I guess the big idea of this conversation is this just doesn't make sense is a very spiritually troubling statement, even more troubling than, oh, there goes ISIS again, or, oh, man, people are taking these medications and they're making them do wild things. All these things that we think of as logic, in the end, it will be far more troubling if we don't have any logical explanation at all other than human evil. And some completely illogical choice. I mean, if you got up in a pulpit to talk about that, wouldn't that leave you in kind of a, you'd hard be hard to know where to go with that?
One more question for you, Terry. I want your thought on this, because
okay.
A dearth of evidence is usually fuel, and has proven in this case, fuel for the conspiracy theorists questioning everything, and it's out there all over the place.
Yeah.
The less that evidence there is, the stronger their case they believe it is. Does the press have a responsibility to, in any sense, cover these alternate theories that have cropped up so quickly within hours of this? Do they have any responsibility to at least acknowledge or cover them?
I've seen some roundups of the wild theories. Personally, I don't think that's horribly valid. I think that covering what ISIS is claiming doesn't fall into the completely insane categories. I think if people start raising, you know, if people start raising speculation about a few words about his economic status, I can see that. But this whole thing of trying to find, you know, blowing up huge pictures of anti-Trump rally pictures and trying to find him in the crowd and saying, oh, look, there he is, or finding some obscure link to the Antifada, if I pronounce that right. I haven't had to deal with the alt-right this week. No, I don't think the press has to go into stuff like that at all. There's enough mystery here to try to do homework about real things, and we'll just leave it at that.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, and he is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Bishop Keith Ackerman. This story has been floating around for about a week. The Archbishop of Canterbury has refused to give a straight answer to a question about homosexuality. We'll see what Bishop Ackerman thinks and what it means after this.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. AdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at AdGruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you plan to buy one item commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I highly recommend the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. It's titled The Reformation. You'll want to display this richly illustrated book on your coffee table, in your church library, or anywhere you can easily flip through this informative and beautiful book. The Reformation is written by regular guest Dr. Cameron McKenzie. Learn more about The Reformation at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.